Helping Hand weekly feature airs statewide on HPR1 stations on Friday as part of our afternoon drive broadcast of All Things Considered. And then it is archived online at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. That's where all of our Helping Hand segments and resources are found. Every week, Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are learning about RYSE, and that is spelled R-Y-S-E, and the letters stand for Residential Youth Services and Empowerment. It's a nonprofit that operates an access center where Hawaii street youth are assessed and referred to appropriate support services. According to their website, youth in the target range of 18 to 24, it says, have access to a safe temporary living space specifically designed to address their unique needs. And as you may have heard, in the Honolulu area, there has been a spike in crime in Waikiki that has involved a number of juvenile offenders. We have a massive homeless crisis, the biggest in the country per capita, and there are many young people part of that. News sources have reported on the high number of homeless youth across Oahu that are in need of service, and the many that congregate in the city, including in Waikiki, plus many young people are vulnerable to being victimized in all kinds of crime situations. We're going to learn more about how RYSE functions with their executive director, Carla Hauser, who joins us today on Helping Hand. Welcome, Carla. Glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. So first, website says that you support Hawaii street youth. Interesting term. Explain your mission.
Our mission is we started to look at a lot of the data that was coming out of Point in Time, the Point in Time count, and we found that there was an overwhelming majority of young people in the age range of 18 to 24 who were sleeping outside, who were unsheltered. And with all of the drop-in services that had been offered, there still wasn't a safe place for young people in this demographic to sleep. And so the mission is really to create a low barrier, two-tiered housing program that for young people who are experiencing homelessness to kind of come in and receive services that are designated specifically to their types of needs as they grow and try and figure out how life works.
Are you guys statewide or just in the Honolulu area?
Currently, we are just in the Honolulu area. Our access center is actually located in Kailua.
And, yeah. Right. Okay. So is there an interesting story as to what, I mean, obviously, backing up from that a moment, if you walk, I don't know if it means as much to you when you drive. I walk, so I'm heavily exposed to so many people that are in the many different homeless populations every day, and people who are just completely suffering enormous mental disabilities, people who look like they're chronic homeless, they may never come off the street, some people who look like they just arrived, some are camped, some are mobile, some are young, some are old. So it's really easy, I guess, to be touched by it. But is there an effort, is there a story that or reason that drove you to be part of what is a colossal effort right now?
I think there are so many of us when I think about just my staff alone. We're this beautiful band of misfits who have lived the life, who have experienced, trauma, and the fact that there was a trusting adult there that could give us a hand, lift us up. I think that's really all we're trying to do with this population is be that trusting adult that walks beside them. We're not in the business of telling young people what to do.
Sure.
Many of them, from what the data shows us, many of these kids have first experienced homelessness at the age of 14. Mm. An overwhelming majority of them have experienced homelessness with their families. So we're looking at generational issues here. And the unique thing about homeless youth is that most of them are invisible. You're not seeing them push the shopping carts down the street. So many of them are in couch surfing situations where they go, they stay with a friend until that wears out. They do a lot of, sex in exchange for a safe place to sleep. And their whole life is always in transition. And it's really tough to start making grown-up decisions about your finances, about, to start start to address and have coping skills when your life is constantly in flux, when you constantly are not sure about where you're going to stay. And that's one of the most profound things that we've found in the 5 months that we've been open, is that just providing a little bit of stability, a safe place for young people to sleep, they really do thrive.
Is that basically the service that you offer, is the housing? Are there other elements to the service besides the housing?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that the house is set up is, you know, we have these two wings. We have 10 beds for young men and 10 beds for young women. But in the center is, you know, this common space that has a living room and a kitchen. And it's really at that point about, you know, a lot of the independent life skill building, how to care for yourself, financial management, conflict resolution, goal setting, employment. You'd be amazed at how many of these kids don't even have an idea of like how to look for a job, or unfortunately, at this age demographic, 19-20 is where we start to see the onset of some of the more severe mental illnesses. We have young people who are battling, you know, chronic substance use. And so we want to be able to take a more tailored approach to, you know, their specific adolescent needs.
So it's just 18 to 24, though?
Yes.
And then where do you guys get the funding for this?
We're privately funded, which is a beautiful thing. We get to not have any time constraints as far as how long our young people can stay there. A lot of times with federal funding, it's okay, in 90 days, you've got to be transitioning right out. And these young people have experienced quite a bit of trauma, and you need we have to go at their pace.
So what's the, is there a length of time they can stay there?
Until they're 25.
Until they're 25. Wow.
Now, ideally, the goal is 90 to, you know, 120 days. We've stabilized them. They have employment. And then we roll them into a rapid rehousing voucher.
And you use a term at your website, which is somewhat new to me. I guess it's a term you could use with any kind of homeless population, actually. So I don't know if it's new, but I guess when I think of young people, street entrenched. Explain that term.
Street entrenched is you're living on the streets, you're surviving on the streets, your friends are on the streets. That is your peer influence. That's your circle. And that's where you go to find your drugs. That's where you go to find your companionship. And so to kind of end that cycle, we have to be low barrier and allow them to come in and experience what it is to live in a house.
Are you guys part of the Partners in Care
Absolutely.
Coalition?
Yeah,
so you are part of that. Okay.
Yes.
And then just to be clear, so no city and county, no funding that comes from any government?
We do. Yep. So we just recently got a grant and aid from city and county, and we are looking at how we could utilize some of the Ohana Zone funding to expand services for young people that include adolescent-specific medical care, adolescent-specific behavioral health and substance abuse. So often we find that there's all this wealth of resources for, you know, kids under 18. Hmm. And then as soon as they turn 18, right, it's like, here you go. Now you have to
You're
fit into
own.
The adult model. And that doesn't necessarily work.
That helps that it's... I see what you mean, because there's so many homeless populations, and I guess the boiling it down, this is another one, is what it really comes down to.
Well, what's really eye-opening is that all of the national data tells us that youth homelessness is the fastest growing subpopulation.
I have no doubt.
Yes.
I mean, with
the cost of living, and the big thing that we push our young people towards is that $14 an hour minimal. Like, if that's great that you have a part-time job that pays you $10.10, that's a fantastic start. But how do we get you to $14 an hour? Because with the ALIS survey, it tells us that's what you need to survive in Hawaii. And with no skills, with little job experience, that makes it a challenge. But we're up for it.
Are there costs for folks to access these services?
No.
No cost.
No cost.
And so, thinking about how to help this member of the Partners in Care Coalition of Homeless Service Providers in the epicenter of the worst homeless crisis anywhere in the United States per capita, right here in the Aloha State. How can people provide some aloha to your efforts? Now, people could obviously make donations.
Sure.
I've heard a little bit about your funding.
Mm-hmm.
People could, and you'll explain, volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about your facility, you'd know if there were certain holes in items there. Oh, we need a new, or the roof is the, or the bathroom, or this is messed up.
You just described our property perfectly.
Well, so my taking a close look in the crystal ball before we met. Used clothing, furniture. I just throw a few things out there to spark your mind in terms of things that they're, you know, sometimes people don't have cash, but they may have some of the other things or some time. And with that, Carla, the floor is yours.
We always have a great need for volunteers who want to be part, want to be a positive influence in young people's lives. Where what we ask for sometimes is, it's a challenge. We want volunteers who can make a commitment. So many of our young people have had adults come and go in their life, and many people originally show up and they're well-intended, and then life happens. Our young people get attached and they disappear.
What's the commitment?
Commitment's 1 day a week, 4 hours, and you know, commit to us for a year. That's what we're looking for. And anyone who's interested can just shoot us an email at info@risehawaii.org. We also have a need for various service projects, and that's kind of your get it done in a day. We are located on a 400-acre beautiful property in Kailua, and so there's always projects to do, we're grateful that our young people jump on and like to assist with those projects. We are trying to get our aquaponics back up and running. We also have just recently, with the help from the Junior League, we were able to create a learning center and storefront. And so we are accepting donations of furniture, household items, because the idea is that as our young people kind of go through the tiers and the steps with us, once they're ready to move into their own place,
they'll need that stuff.
They need that stuff. Yeah. And so anything along those lines are greatly appreciated.
Sounds like people can also reach out and say, I didn't hear him mention it, but I have this I could be parting ways with, and I'd like to get it out of my possession, and let me call or email. Like to have people check in with
absolutely
things we didn't cover that. That we may have sparked a light bulb in their mind. You mentioned it, not really part of our thing, but just curious, 400-acre property?
Yeah.
Where is this place? And exactly, try to paint a picture of that for me.
So we're actually located on the Hawaii Youth Correctional Facility campus.
Okay.
And that's over 400 acres.
State land.
State lands, yes. And we are part of the recent legislation that just passed, part of the Kauai Loa Youth and Family Wellness Center. And we get to be one of the first pilot projects there.
And so that's 400 acres. Forgive me because I don't know the area. That's 400 acres of woods and stuff? Or what's the...
Yeah, it's wooded. There's pasture. Grounds,
but not buildings.
There are some rundown, dilapidated buildings that, through community support and a lot of volunteer hours, we have been able to refurbish, and that's what we call home.
Wow!
So
but otherwise, it's mostly like. Greenery and stuff.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Wow, sounds it. 400 acres is...
You know, and I share this story often. If you would have told me a year ago that we were going to open this center for homeless youth on the youth correctional facility, it's probably a half a mile walk to the nearest bus stop. We're surrounded by, you know, still high fences. If you would have told me that we'd be full and have a 20-person wait list, I would have thought you were crazy. But
that's probably a safe place to be, too.
Absolutely.
Because you're near the authorities, basically.
Yeah, and it's very therapeutic. There's something about being backed up against the koalas. You know, there's still a herd of cattle that are descendants from the Queen's original herd.
That are running around on
running around. There's some horses. We do equine therapy with our young people who are, you know, just looking for a different way to kind of cope with some of the trauma they've experienced.
And you need any support in any of that stuff? Is that all areas
absolutely.
That volunteers could... Now, you may have sparked more interest with the nature of the place. Now, people are like, whoa, maybe I do want to volunteer there.
Absolutely. We have a small garden that, interestingly enough, at Thanksgiving, You know, that was our salad for our young people. So we have the space and we have the capacity to really create something beautiful.
Yeah, I would venture, Carla, you could do more than a small garden with that kind of space.
We've got a little papaya tree growing. So
I was trying to think like how big the Woodstock 94 site was. I think your place is about 20 times as many acres as that was. 400 acres.
Well, it belongs to all
lot.
Of the Cavallo Youth and Family Wellness Center.
So right, but it sounds like a very... and is that right on the water or
nope.
near... No.
No.
So it's up in the
same
mountainside.
Same property actually is Olamana School. And
don't know that one, but no. You certainly made it sound absolutely cool and love animals, yeah. Especially having them walking around.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sold. So here's how people can get in touch with risehawaii.org. That's the website, and that is risehawaii.org. And as Carla mentioned, info@risehawaii.org is their website, or info@risehawaii.org is the email address. Phone number is 498-5180 here in the city and county of Honolulu. And the full interview, the radio feature, all of the contact information, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests can be found at hawaiipublicradio.org. Just look for Helping Hand there. And today we've been talking with Carla Hauser. She's the executive director of RYSE, and that is RYSE, Residential Youth Services and Empowerment. And they are tackling the support component for homeless people 18 to 24 in the Honolulu area, where we have a big piece of the largest homeless population per capita in the country. We appreciate what you're doing, obviously. Sounds very innovative and like it's plugged into the other resources to try to take a bite out of it, because obviously it needs to be split up into the people who can cater to try to help each of these homeless subpopulations. And this is, you explained it well. I wish you a whole lot of luck. If they let you do it, a little hug to the cows and the horses, as you could probably imagine I'd want you to do. And stay in touch with us. And thanks for doing what you're doing on behalf of all those folks who have a place to be safe in the nighttime hours. It sounds really humbling. Thank you.
Thank you.